Greetings to you all in Jesus' name. It's good to be with you. Looking forward to our time together this day as we think through the theme "To the Uttermost, Jesus Saves." Jesus Saves. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. There's a privilege for me to be with you. I am grateful for the opportunity and praying that the Lord will truly bless our time together. Luke chapter 15, and as we consider the theme today, Jesus saves, and he saves to the uttermost. Two particular truths I'd like to drill in us this morning and later this afternoon is the fact that there is no one who is beyond salvation. There is no one who is beyond salvation. Anyone, and absolutely anyone, regardless of how deeply lost they are and how far they've gone, can be saved. And because Jesus saves. But the second thing is that there is no one who is exempt from salvation. There is no one who is so good and so righteous that they have no need for salvation. Regardless of how far gone you are, and regardless of how righteous you think you are, every one of us is in desperate need of salvation. And I'd like us to consider the account in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11, which will be a familiar account to most of us. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And I'd like to ask if the guys can turn me down a little bit. It feels extra loud. I know we are loud as youth, but I'm extra loud. Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For his son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. When he came and approached the father, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I've been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you've always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask for your blessing upon your word. We ask that you will impress it on each of our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you will speak to us and each one of us clearly and simply and powerfully. And may you get hold of our minds and hearts this morning, even as we pause and reflect on your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord pursues the wayward. The Lord pursues the wayward. Luke 15 begins with the account that tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus and listening to him, and he was welcoming them. And the Pharisees and the scribes were unhappy because Jesus was receiving and welcoming sinners and the wayward in society. And they grumbled, saying, verse 2, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so in response, Jesus began telling them parables. And basically the parables were saying, the Lord pursues the wayward. And that the reason Jesus himself came was so that he might pursue and redeem those who are lost. So he tells them the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And this truth, these parables that Jesus was telling them, was both to rebuke and correct the religious leaders, but also teach the multitude and teach them the truth that God pursues the wayward. And so we are told of the lost son who recklessly decided to leave his own way and go off with his father's wealth and property and squandered it all. But then returned, and the father graciously welcomed him. You see that God lovingly pursues the reckless people, the reckless sinners, those who are recklessly wicked. Look at the recklessness of this son. Firstly, he disregarded his father and in essence abandoned him. So he goes to the father and says, "You give me my inheritance." That's as good as saying, "You know what, you are taking long to die. I want you dead so that I can get what belongs to me." So this son was so self-centered, so self-seeking, that he simply wanted to please himself, and he was willing for the father to die. He didn't want anything to do with the father. The only thing he wanted from the father was what the father could give him. So, "I know I am entitled to an inheritance. You give me the inheritance today. I don't want to have a relationship with you. I simply want what you can give me. So give me." And the father obliges and gives his son what he thinks is entitled to. And this guy goes and YOLOs. Right? You only live once, isn't it? Go, live to the fullest, and enjoy yourself. Do whatever you please. It's my life, it's my choice. Father, you have no say over my life. And there is nothing you can tell me. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want it. Don't get into my business. I mean, that's a problem, isn't it? Everyone wants to be up your business. I'm telling you what you should do. When you have your life figured out and you know what's best for you and whatever it is you want to do, people should let you do, because even if you ruin your life, it's your life. So he goes off to a far country. He has a powerful GP. He's going to live life and live life to the fullest. It was going down. So he indulges in all manner of wickedness. He does as he pleases, and he has wealth. He has money to spend. He was a big spender. Big spenders happened. But then, it's all wasted. And he spent everything. And life and time caught up with him. And there's a famine in the land. And he's languishing and suffering and reducing himself to working with pigs, taking care of pigs, and even eating pig's food. Now, I don't know if you've seen pigs. Pigs are dirty animals. They are gross. So this guy was so desperate that he reduced himself to eating their food. And then he gets back to his senses. And remembers, I have a father. The father I abandoned. The father I disregarded. I have a father. And I will go back. In fact, the people who work for my father live better than I am right now. So I will go back and say, I am unworthy to be your son. Let me just be one of your servants. So he goes back, and while the father sees him from a distance, he runs after him. Now, that's a problem. In fact, in the culture, what the father did was scandalous. First of all, welcoming the son who had disregarded and abandoned him and wished him dead was not normal, was not the order of things. The normal thing for the father to do would have been to say, away, get lost. But the father sees this guy from a distance and runs after him. And again, it was not dignified for men, grown men, to run in that culture. So he pulls up his tunic because, you know, they didn't wear what we wear today. So he pulls up his tunic and runs after the wayward son and embraces him. Then brings him in and throws a party and rejoices, and the son is crying and is saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Have mercy on me." But the father, filled with so much compassion, pursues, embraces, and welcomes this wayward, sinful child. When the right thing would have been to cast them out, to ignore them, give him a silent treatment. You know, some of you experience that when you've sinned against your parents and it's just tense and they are not even talking to you. And you are avoiding them. But this son says he came back to his senses, had a realization. He acknowledged the sinfulness of his ways, the waywardness of his life, and saw that he had gone astray and disregarded and abandoned the father, and he came back. And the father graciously, mercifully, lovingly welcomes him and embraces him. And he says, "My son was lost, but now he is found. He was blind, but now he sees. So let's rejoice. Let's celebrate. It's cause for celebration." Now, I hope you see how that's not natural. That's actually strange. That a father would actually pursue, welcome, and embrace a wayward son who completely disregarded him. But you see, that is the nature of our God, that he pursues the recklessly wicked. He pursues those who are wayward. He pursues. And that's what love is. Love is seeking the good of the other. And it's costly and it's sacrificial and selfless. And that's exactly what God does for us. In that while we were still sinners, God demonstrated his love towards us by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for us. That whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. Have you ever had that moment where you came back to your senses? Your eyes were opened and you suddenly saw that you are a sinner. Have you ever had that moment where you looked at your life and realized, you know what, I am a sinner. I have disregarded God. I am wayward. And then you looked to God and asked for mercy and received God's mercy and grace and compassion. Have you ever got to that point where you looked at your life and saw the sinfulness in your life or of your life and realized how far gone you were from God? You know, you realize that you were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But then love lifted me. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced the love of God, the love of the Father in welcoming wayward people? If you haven't, it's possible you may be saying, you know what, I can't relate with that guy. I am not reckless. I am sensible. I am not a bad person. In fact, if anything, I'm actually quite good. And, you know, I get along with people. I generally do well. I love and respect my parents. And, you know, I'm performing very well at school. And, in fact, I am the standard in the community. I'm the standard at school. Most people, when they're talking to their children, they say, hey, why can't you be like? So I can't relate. Well, then you are in the second category. You are the other brother who was equally lost. The only difference is he was religiously self-righteous. So, there's a party going on. The reckless child has come back. The older guy, the good guy, he hears the noise and he says, what's going on? And tell him, oh, your brother is back. And there's a party going on. In celebration. And what's the response of the good guy? Like, oh wow, amen, hallelujah. No, he became angry. Angry and, you know, threw a tantrum. I'm not even going to go in. This guy was proud, very self-righteous. Look at verse 29. Look at his attitude. Look, saying to the father, for many years I have been serving, and the word there is slaving for you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. Is that possible? The guy is saying, all these years, I have never, ever disobeyed. I have obeyed perfectly. But yet you've never appreciated me. You don't notice my work. You don't appreciate me. He resented the father. He resented the brother, and his pride, resentment was revealing his pride, how he disregarded the father. Just like the first son disregarded the father, the only difference is the way they do it. One was reckless and indulged himself. The other guy was self-righteous and was full of himself. And he's giving his father attitude. I mean, can you picture him? Grumbling outside the house. Pacing up and down. Sinzangena. It's very childish, isn't it? But he feels justified. How can he do such a thing? And the father begins to plead with him. Notice his attitude about his brother in verse 30. This son of yours who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes. Self-righteous people disregard God. And they disregard God in the sense that they feel they do not need God. They feel they are good in and of themselves. They feel, you know, God is lucky to have them because they are that good. And they have this sense of entitlement. Just like the first character had entitled. He was very entitled. He felt, I want to do as I please. You should give me what I want. The second guy just felt like he was owed recognition because he was good. You need to notice me. You need to appreciate me. Why can't you also? Me? So I'm not happy. And self-righteous people do not have the right assessment of themselves. They look at themselves and say, I'm not bad. In fact, I'm good. Quite good. And they justify everything. They may be living in sin, but they're just proud of the fact that they've not been caught. They may be living in sin, but they are proud of the fact that it's in secret. And then they come around and look down on those who have been publicly scandalized. Like, look at them. What kind of people are these? And even when they sin, self-righteous people have an explanation and a justification for their sinful attitude and sinful actions. So they will hate others, resent others, disregard others, and say, you know, I just don't like toxic people. They bring a negative vibe in my life. So I'm just getting rid of negativity. Yeah, but the Bible is saying you are hating. No. It's not hating. Elohim, I give chances. After some time, I draw a line. I'm detoxing. Refreshing the page. Or sometimes they sin and they blame others for their sin. No, the reason I did this is because you did. And even their acts of service, it's focused on self. When they do good, they want you to know they did good. Notice them. So what's the father's attitude? It says in verse 28, he began pleading with him. So God patiently pursues the religiously self-righteous. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, if, you know, why didn't this father say, Luakwe? Let that character be. He's refusing to enter. He will enter eventually. You know, let him be.
But the father goes out and patiently pursues even the self-righteous son. And cause him to think rightly. And in this parable, the second son actually represents the attitude of the Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling and complaining that Jesus receives and eats with sinners. But whether you are recklessly wicked or religiously self-righteous, God's disposition is to pursue, and pursue lovingly. And when Christ died, he died for the reckless, and he died for the self-righteous. And he says to both of them, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stop living a self-centered, selfish life. And stop trying to live in your own power. The life, you are not the center of life. Life is not about you. And without me, you cannot enjoy this life, he's saying. But he lovingly, patiently pursues. So that those who tend, those who abandon themselves, those who come to their senses and see their pride and selfishness and recklessness and their wickedness and their need for salvation and their need for the Father, those who tend to him are then given life and life in abundance. So are you at this point in life living a reckless life? Are you indulging in all manner of sin and worldly activities? And are you just doing what you please? You know, do you think it's my life, it's my choice? Are you living in total disregard of God? Jesus is saying, come. He lovingly and compassionately welcomes those who are wayward. Oh, are you the religious type, grew up in church from Sunday school to YP, and you know, you sing church songs, you read Christian books, you listen to Christian podcasts, you watch Christian videos and reels and whatnot. You, even your memes are Christian. And you feel good about yourself. You look at your life and look at a few people you know and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not that bad. And you are proud of your goodness and very confident that you do good, and how can God not accept you? You're not that bad.
Well, you too are in desperate need of a Savior. And the Lord patiently stretches out His hands and pleads with you. Stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in your goodness. The Lord pursues the wayward and saves them to the atoms. The question for each one of us this morning is, have you been saved? Have you been saved? Have you been saved? Amen.